My text tonight, folks, which will be short, and the message itself not too long. It's not the best of weather to keep you hanging about even in your cars. It's verse 9 of chapter 10 in John's Gospel. Very simply, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Had you lived in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the land of Palestine or Israel, and took a stroll through the fields in and around the little city of Bethlehem, you would have come across a structure too high to easily scale and too thick to penetrate easily. You would find an opening in this structure, but no door, at least as we know doors. And if the shepherd came along and you were to ask him the question, is this structure built for the sheep? He would say, yes, of course it is. And you might answer like this question and say, how could they be safe? There's no door. There's just an opening. Anything could get in and out. Then the shepherd would reply in the words of this text, I am the door. You see, the shepherd would stay there all night long and would actually lie across the entrance so that nothing could get in without his knowledge or except by his authority. Beloved, when the Lord Jesus Christ said these words, he was looking beyond Calvary, the resurrection from the dead, and would be standing at the entrance of God's sheepfold and would say to the whole world of men, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. It's not a lovely biblical word. It's not a word that's often used today in preaching. There are many places in our province and across the earth where the word saved would not be used in its proper context. But it's a Bible term. You can be saved tonight. Bless God, you can. Saved from your sin. Saved from hell. Saved from a lost eternity. Saved by God's grace. But if you are going to be saved, please understand what this text is saying. I am the door. The same Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, preacher, does that apply to everyone? Yes, it does. Whether a man's a Protestant, a Roman Catholic, a Muslim, a Hindu, a follower of Confucius, or whatever, if he doesn't come to God through the door ordained of God, he can't get in. You can't get to heaven, says the wee children's chorus, without S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. I'm introducing you all tonight. Most of you probably know, most of you do know, that Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the door. There's no other way. No other way to get to heaven, no other way to know the joy of eternal life. yes, you're through the door. It's the door I want to speak of this evening just for a few moments. I want you to think of this door as a door of great safety. Once the sheep was in, through the door, he was safe. Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Is that good enough for you? It's been good enough for me for almost 54 years. And friend, I can tell you it's good enough for us all. The shepherd gives safety from a number of things. First of all, from the severity of the elements. From the wind. There's quite a wind blowing tonight. From the snow. From the rain. From the fire. Maybe you think, well, how could there be protection from the snow? There's no snow in Bethlehem and in Jerusalem and in Israel. Oh, yes, there is. I had photographs in my study of the city of Jerusalem covered in 3 foot of snow. Yes, it snows there too. The hillsides are kept with snow very often. The shepherd gives safety from all of this. Indeed, in the Gospel according to Matthew, we read those tremendous words in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:24 and 25, that says this. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You see, friends, the shepherd spoken of in this text in John chapter 10 is none other than the Rock of Ages. The shepherd of the sheep is the rock. And it's the rock in which the church is built and the rock in which my faith is built. The hymn writer said, my faith has found a resting place, bless God, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. Yes, protection from the severity of the elements and protection from the savagery of the enemies. You know that in those days there was trouble from predators, from lions, wolves, bears, all wicked creatures, predators that live to take life and to feed. In fact, the Bible tells us that the devil goeth about as a roaring lion. Man, that's what he does, and that's what he is. That's what he's out to do to you, to destroy you. You remember that young David, the shepherd boy, fought with the lion and the bear and delivered his sheep from their jaws. That's what the Lord does, folks. He protects us. He keeps us safe. He preserves us from the teeth of the enemy, from the power and the attacks of the devil. Now the hireling knows nothing of this. The false prophet can do nothing about this. He that is an hireling, the sheep will not follow. But because they know his voice. I remember years ago as a young student, of course I was reared in the city, a real townie at that time, and I was away preaching somewhere in the country. And I stayed with a farmer and his wife for dinner and tea, And of course, I was looked after very well and very kindly. But this man had a great number of sheep, and they were all penned for some reason at that time. I knew nothing about it, of course. But he took me out into the yard to go over the pens to see these sheep. And I just walked over by myself to see this sight. These little timid sheep, they went absolutely mad with what seemed to me to be fright. You know, the problem was this: they didn't know me. But the farmer was a little distance behind, couldn't be seen by the sheep at the moment, and then he appeared in view, and he spoke. And immediately he spoke, and they saw him, they calmed down. Why? They knew his voice. They knew his voice. You see, in the Middle East, it's a wee bit different than it is here. Here, perhaps in the fields, the farmer will drive the sheep. But in Israel, he leads them. The shepherd goes before them, and they know his voice, and they follow him. And when they see him, the door of their sheepfold, they'll enter in readily because they know the shepherd. Tell me tonight, beloved, do you know the shepherd? That's the question. For out there's a savage enemy or two. And the devil will do what he can do to distract you, to turn your eyes from Jesus, to cause you to wander from him. And how easily the sheep wanders. In the field, when you have a look, and I did this. I stopped and watched this flock of sheep. And suddenly, one of them just started to run off. Just tore down the field. And the whole of the flock followed it. So easily led away. But when the shepherd's around, the sheep follow him. We sing the hymn very often, do we not? Following Jesus, ever day by day. Nothing can harm me when he leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whatever befall, Jesus the shepherd, hallelujah, he's my all in all. Savagery of the enemy. The severity of the elements. What about the subtlety of the enticements? Outside the sheepfold, many things are there to entice people and sheep to be led astray, led to danger, even led to death. I heard of a young girl. She died from an overdose of drugs. Not too long before this, she had warned her young sister about the danger of taking drugs. Yet she herself got into bad company. She was enticed, and she started to experiment herself with drugs. And very soon she overdosed, and she died. Oh, the devil will use many things, beloved, to take you from Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus tonight. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Only in Christ, only through the door, is safety to be found. May you find him. The door great safety. Then he's the door of glorious significance. You know, the sheep didn't fulfill the purpose of the shepherd until the sheep entered the fold. And that's the significance of this. I read there in the book of Ephesians, I'll just turn to the text. It's Ephesians chapter 2. And it says there in the verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, listen, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's the significance of the safety that's in the sheepfold. That you live a life as a workman and good works for God and for Christ. You see, the shepherd has a plan for the sheep. He just doesn't save you that you might wander about aimlessly and just get your day in, get your life in, get to heaven at the end of it. No, no. He wants us to have glorious and wonderful freedom in him. Freedom in Christ. Notice what it says in the text. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out. That suggests freedom. And beloved, truly, they that the Son set free, they're free indeed. Praise the Lord. There's a lovely gospel song. The Reverend Gordon Cook used to sing it quite often. About the great emancipator. What a word that is. It means one who sets you free. That's what happens when Jesus saves you. You get freedom. You're set free, beloved, from chains that bind. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What a wonder. Over there in the book of Romans, again, we want to read the text. Romans chapter 8 it is. Let me just read the verse before we go anywhere else. Not easy turning over with this wind blowing, but we'll get to it all right. Romans chapter 8. And it's the verse 21. Here's what it says in verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty, listen, of the children of God. That's it. There's liberty in Christ, you know. Liberty from bondage, free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled. Thank God there is remission. That's the point to be made. There's great freedom in Christ here. Then he brings you into the sheepfold that you might be faithful to Christ. The Lord makes a lovely promise to the church in Revelation. He says to them, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. That's the only thing that Jesus Christ requires from you. Faithfulness. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, a precious fountain. Free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Tell me, have you been to the cross, beloved? That word in and out suggests faithfulness. It's an integrated life. It's life in Christ. The apostle said, my life is hid with Christ in God. Is yours? Are we faithful? One of the great blights in the church today is this business of what D.L. Moody called the SMOs, the SMOs, Sunday morning only. Beloved, the Lord's day is a full day. It's a 24-hour cycle. We need to be in the house of God morning and evening, as often as possible, as much as we can. Why? Because we're the sheep. We want to be faithful to the shepherd. Are you free tonight? Are you free in Christ? Oh, what glorious freedom is this. Many years ago, in the days when slavery was so rampant, there were two men in the slave market bidding for a young slave girl. One was a rough man, and one was a very kindly man. They were bidding for this young slave. The good man, he won. And when she came and stood before him, her eyes were filled with hatred. She'd been torn from her family and her country and enslaved and made a servant of whoever had the means of buying her. This kindly man looked at her, his eyes filled with compassion, and he said, "I bought you in order to free you." When she heard this and realized it was true, when he tore up the papers, she fell down at his feet and she said, "I will serve you, Master, all the days of my life." Folks, that's what it's about, you know. When the Lord Jesus Christ saved us, I remember when he saved me away back in 1966 as a young teenager. From that day to this, with all my faults and failings, I have sought to serve him. Why? Because he paid me money every month? No. Because he set me free. He redeemed me by his blood. He saved me by his grace. I'm a willing slave of Christ tonight. That's why I'm standing here, preaching the gospel. What a wonderful Savior he is. That's the freedom he's given me. And that's the faithfulness I want to exercise. May you be the same tonight. Let me say thirdly a brief word, about the door of gracious supply. What does it say in the text? He shall go in and out and find pasture. You know, it was said to me in the early days, you should not go near Paisley or that Free Presbyterian Church as far as serving and going into the ministry. It would be madness. You'll starve. Well, even a quick glance at the wee pulpit tonight will dispel that lie. You'll get nowhere. Friend, I've travelled to many places in this world over these last 50 years and preached the gospel. The greatest privilege of my life was standing under a tree in the garden tomb in Jerusalem, preaching about Jesus with his tomb behind me. I never lost out. The Lord supplied my every need. You know the story well of Ruth, and will not dwell upon it, but just to say this, when she went into the field to reap, Boaz, the master, had told the young men and the maidens not to annoy her, to look after her, to protect her. and to give to her provision. And while she was in the field serving the master, she was protected. She was provided for. She was looked after. And so was I. And so will you be. And those that are saved tonight, you know this is true. This is true. Green pastures. The Savior was probably thinking of the 23rd Psalm when he talked about finding pasture. The psalmist talked about laying down in green pastures. How luscious that is. What a wonderful joy is entailed in that thought. Hungry sheep, you know, don't usually lie down. They wander. And as they wander, very often they wander into danger. Looking for food to satisfy? Friend, you don't need to go out of his pasture. All you need is in him and in his field, under his guidance and protection. You'll never fail. Praise the Lord for that. The sheep don't have to wander. That's the reason, you see, that they lie down in green pasture. All you need tonight, beloved, you'll find it in the Lord Jesus. He'll lead you beside the still waters. Your thirst will be quenched, your defilement cleansed, your weariness refreshed. That's all the work of the Holy Spirit, the one who led you to the shepherd in the first place, the Spirit of the living God. Listen, all this is found within the door. Let me read you one verse, one final verse. In the book of Psalms, it's Psalm 84. Verse 11, here's what the psalmist says. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. This is the bit. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. What a promise. Praise the Lord. You'll never have to fear. He'll not withhold anything from you for your good. He'll care for you. There's a final door, and I want to close with this. It's the door of grievous scorning. You see, there are people today, just as there was in the days of Jesus, and they scorn him. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them give he the power or the authority to become the sons of God. Yes. There are people who reject Christ. And that breaks his heart. My Lord has a great heart for sinners. He came to seek them. He came to save them. He came to bring life everlasting to sinners. Man, will you not take him tonight? Don't trample his blood, his precious blood, underfoot. But oh, taste and see tonight. Taste and see that the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. Will you taste? Will you see? When you see a good meal set before you, and during this pandemic, I have seen many of them. My wife is constantly baking. Man, when you get a newly prepared soda bread laid down before you, lots of stuff to go with it. you know when you look at it, man, that's good. I've been in the living room, I've been in the study, I've smelled it. Oh, it smells good, you know. But you'll never know how good till you taste it. So it is with a meal. You've got to taste it to know how good it is. But I want to tell you, folks, as I close, you have to taste Christ just to know how good he is. Taste and see, says the psalmist, that the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. I trust, I hope, I pray tonight that you will come. If you're not saved now, you will come to trust him, to lay hold upon him, to be saved by matchless grace. If we can help you, we'd love to do that. We can still work with that. If you need to see us, we can come in here. Plenty of room to socially distance. But there's plenty of room to come to Christ too. Have a word with us. May the Lord help you to come for his name's sake.